Thank you so much, BBS Radio, for broadcasting this Monday evening show with Winfrey live over the internet. Today it is February the 19th, 2018. My name is Gijs Minderhout. I am located in Paradise, California. And this is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. That's how it all started. And we await more people to join in here. We're fairly early on the air, about another 7 minutes, 6 minutes till the hour. However, thank you for being here, and I do not know yet what tonight's episode will have to bring us. This might be a channeling session, although Terry Brown, she is a little under the weather, so it's kind of hard for her to do the channeling, but hang in there and we'll see what happens. And May, you are here. I appreciate you being here. Are you ready for me to play a little bit of music?
If you would like, sure.
Unless you have more stuff you want to talk about.
Well, how do we get Terry well sooner? It's like, I know sometimes she won't take her nutritional supplements, but...
All you need to do is have her in your prayers.
Yeah, I'm doing that. Whenever I'm laying down and not doing anything else, yes, which is quite often. Now, did you get a chance to see any other personal healings on a one-to-one when you were with Kimberly?
Yes, several.
Well, how many did she do?
She did several private in the hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
And paid for, and then she did several on three different workshops.
Wow.
We did, yes.
So with the private ones in the hotel room, did you see anything really spectacular?
I did not participate with that. I remained at the booth. We had somebody else join in here on the call. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Cecil, the C6C Serpent from Sunshiny Seattle.
All right, Cecil. I'm glad to hear it's sunny over there. Thank you for being here.
It's sunny, but it's freezing.
All right.
But we like the sunshine.
Yes. It was cold here, too, but also sunny here in Chico today.
Yeah, well, we're quite a bit north.
Yes. Yeah, colder there, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's about 40 degrees.
Oof. Yeah, it's frozen here. The my windshield, I had to scrape my windshield this morning.
Have you ever tried the alcohol thing, Heis? I've heard that if you spray alcohol on it, it disappears.
This is the very first time I had to scrape my windows this morning, so I'm not, you know.
You're not alcohol prepared.
I drove away with it without doing it, but then, you know, once I stopped at the stop sign, I thought, I'd rather scrape my windows.
Yeah, you can't. It's very foggy. So, did you walk? When you were at, how long did you have to stay at Kimberly's booth? I mean, did you get a chance to walk around to other places?
Well, the thing is, I did for the rest of the way because I was there from at the booth the first day from 8 in the morning till like 9:30 at night, and the other days also, from 8:30 till also 9 or so.
Now, was she
except
doing...
Monday was an easy day, but they gave me, I was lots of time standing in front of the booth and those people walking by, you know, see if they looked to have interest in our booth, and then I started talking to them. But that really made me connect with people, and then they said, hey, why don't you just go, like, you know, go into the lobby and walk around, which I loved because I connected with so many people, and it was such a blessing to me to do. Mm-hmm. I was mainly, you know, I could just feel those who walked by, who radiated energy.
Wow.
And, you know, several, I mean, a bunch of them, I started talking to them, my name, yada, yada, what I'm there for. And then I told them, hey, I recognize you have a high level of energy. Do you know, have you heard of crystal children or star children or, you know, indigo children? And some of them totally did. And I met the most amazing channeling people over there through that. But also some said, no, never heard of that. And then I asked, you know, do you know about we're in the third dimension and we're shifting to the fourth dimension? And when they said no, then, you know, while I did feel totally their energy, then I told them, you know, you might want to, you know, Google that, see if it resonates with you, because I said, you know, you're from for you are here from a higher dimension. You are here to be of service, to anchor Live Light. And I had several who just started, you know, crying in front of me.
Oh, no.
He felt that connection. And one came back the next day with her husband and said, oh, tell me again, you know. And, that felt so uplifting to connect people, you know.
Did you tell him about the Wynn and Terry connection and you're on the line most of the time?
Well, not really, but I did, you know, provide him information, websites from Wynn, and I did tell him about the light work I do, and, mm-hmm. you know, and I took so many pictures, I have so many, and it was all the time, it was all the time beautiful women, and I took many selfies, and I'm still in the process of sorting them out.
Oh my.
And I have many emails from them, and I so far only contacted one because the problem over there at the Hilton was there was terrible internet service. I couldn't do any work on my computer at nighttime. Well, I barely slept. Even the other odd thing was I had breakfast before 7 in the morning, mm-hmm. and then I worked the entire day. I only drank water and didn't have dinner, no lunch, not sitting down. I worked the whole day till like 9 o'clock at night, and then I had dinner after that. So, and I wasn't even hungry for it. So I was like on a different energy level, I guess.
Well, I think as Jesus once said that when you're fasting, minerals are still important.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if they ate bugs for minerals.
I don't know. I pass on bugs.
Well, Dimitri, you know, is doing the Men Who Walk with Jesus and then anything about Jesus. And it's quite fascinating. And it also reminds you, you know, the same thing that when Wynn talks, it reminds you of a lot of things that you should be doing in your everyday life to, you know, be that much kinder to your, you know, fellow man or woman or child or dog or cat.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Hello, hello. Please say your name and location.
Hi. This is Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Hi, Jeannie. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you.
Helen in Virginia.
Good evening to you, Helen. Welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. You know, I did have that, I can't remember what you call it. It was a very special healing. I met that one lady at the Conscious Life Expo. And she's the only one in America doing that. It's a, it's developed, actually invented in the 60s. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say my location.
Hi, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hey, Chris. Good evening. Welcome.
All right. Thanks, guys.
We finish on that. It's like pushing on pressure points, and then with your eyes open, eyes closed, eyes in dark open, eyes in dark closed, and then all kinds of exercises. And it really, 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 I didn't, because I drove after that 7 hours home, and I come home at nighttime, and I unloaded my suitcase, and then it dawned on me, man, I totally feel alive and kicking. You know, I should be tired, you know, 7 hours drive. But and then like all my joints, like I had oil in my joints, and then also I noticed, wow, my voice has changed. My voice so much more powerful, and I responded that to her later, like over the weekend. She said, yes, that's what it does. However, nobody's interested.
I am. What is that exercise called?
It's called Human Neuro Cybernetics.
Neurocybernetics?
Yes. NUROCYBRAINETICS. It's a therapy that was discovered in the U.S. in the 60s. It was taken to Germany, and they have sort of made changes to it and further developed. And it has become very popular in Germany and Switzerland, and I believe there are many prediction therapists. Good evening to my people joining in over here. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Welcome, Roger.
I'm Bonnie in California.
Hello, Bonnie.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi,
yeah. Hi, Roger.
Hi.
All right.
So, hi. So, the neurocybernetics you do every day or once a month?
Good evening to the next call. Thank you for saying name and location.
Hello, hi. This is Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jane. Welcome.
Thank you.
You know, I do not know, May, what they recommend on that. But for me right now, it's kind of like, okay, I'm going to check out how long this is going to last. I have not checked with, her name is Celine. She lives in Hollywood. And I went after the show, I passed by her apartment and I had a treatment. She's still in the early stages of doing this and she's still building up her business. But I do not know how long it is supposed to last.
But so far, it's been a week.
No, I don't think so. It's less than that. Maybe my guess is once a month, maybe. I don't know. And then so, you can also do different treatments. She kind of like over-treated me. She gave me more than she usually does in one session. And the session was also longer than usual.
But, as I live away. Do you go into her to get a session, or does she teach you something that you can do on your own, or both?
No, you really need to do it through her. She needs to do it for you. It is really, you need to have studied to be able to do it.
Okay.
To know where to push and to know how to treat it. And she's not only that, she's just a wonderful lady. I believe she's from the Ra group, that she's from the fifth density, I'm not sure, but... She's just, even her voice is so soothing when she speaks to you when you're there, and she's just her presence. You can totally feel her presence. And, you know, I met her at the show on Saturday, and we just, you know, we looked at each other, we had a few words, and we started hugging each other. We felt so connected. I know she's, you know, closely related to me from the other side. I'm positive on that. And you know, minutes later, we start hugging again, and we couldn't let go, and I've never experienced that. And so she's from a very high, yeah.
And I've heard of that happening, yeah.
Yeah.
You're just a flirt.
I am, honest with you.
Did you ever read the Jane Roberts material, Hype?
I frequently read, yes, from regarding...
The Seth book?
Yes, well, I do not have the books. I read a lot online almost daily.
I'm just asking because, I don't know anything about it online, but I read the books back in the 70s, and she did tell a story about that happening. I think it was she went into a doctor's office or something, and she had that kind of, they both recognized each other, and they hugged, mm-hmm. and, you know, it was kind of like very... unusual kind of, you know, for somebody that you haven't met before, and she knew that it must be past life, but you know,
yes,
yeah.
And we had another caller that probably wants to stay anonymous, but I want to just quickly interject that it was not so much romantically connected, more just that beautiful brother sister connection, you know, like really, really.
Yeah.
The different kind of love, rather than romantic, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what hers was, too. It was mm-hmm. a doctor.
I know.
And she was married, you know. And, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I understand that.
All right. Hello, Wynn.
Now,
I hand you the mic.
You've got a nerve telling everybody it's me.
We'd find out eventually anyway.
We already knew.
Okay. Now, what were you guys talking about when I came on?
I was talking about the lady I met, actually the one that you're sending the book to. She is doing a special treatment. She does the human neurocybernetics, which was invented in the 60s here in the States, that moved over to Germany, and they further developed it and changed it a little bit. And it has become very popular in Germany and Switzerland and Austria. Mm-hmm. There are many of those therapists over there, but there's only one over here in the States, and that's the one I met here at the Conscious Life Expo.
Mm-hmm.
And she has, because, you know, I went... On my way out, she lives in Hollywood. I went for the treatment, the therapy she gave me, and it really has made such a tremendous impact on me that I feel so much better. I'm so much more flexible. Like all my joints are oiled, and even had a great effect on my vocal cords. And it's just mind blowing.
You have to live in L.A., right?
Well, yes, it needs to be hands on over there. So yes, you need to go to her apartment in Hollywood.
Okay. Oh well.
So whenever you're around Hollywood, stop by.
Okay. Darius taking going to sleep through this, and we started out last week, and I played part one of the Don and Wynn show, and this occurred on December 10th, 2005. So this was at the very beginning stages. This was before we did, I think it was before we did conference calls. It was...
You want to record this, Vin? You want to record this already or wait?
Oh, yeah. I should have been recording it, right? Hang on.
This conference is being recorded.
This is February 19th, 2018. And last week, we played a partial of the Don and Wynn show, okay, from 2005. This is probably...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Don is the guy who sometimes hears and says, all right, we're going on the air now. You ready, guys? One, two, three. That's Don. Excuse me. Getting all excited. But somehow Don met me. Somebody referred me to Don and said, you got to talk to this guy.
Ben, can you come closer to your mic, please?
Yeah. So I spoke to him, and I told him a little bit about my story. And he said, that's the best story I ever heard. And he said, you want a radio show? And I said, no. But then we ended up doing a show with him and me called the Don and Wynn Show. And about 2 months into it, I had Daphne on as a guest. And I started playing it last week. And let me see.
All callers are unmuted.
You guys all remember that, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I thought it was very interesting.
Is that May?
Am I going to get in trouble for this?
My God, do you feel that much guilt?
No, I'm just on your ears.
No, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get in trouble. Okay.
Oh, thank you.
You know, Daphne came on, and Daphne is, Terry and Daphne are as different as night and day, okay? Daphne has a background as a queen and aristocrat. You know, you can hear it when she's talking. And when she talks, when she channels, it's like, it really has an overlay of great authority. And it was interesting because over time, and in retrospect, Terry's channelings don't have that authority, because Terry doesn't have that authority, but they're deeper and more profound and in some ways more trustworthy. There were things that came through Daphne at different times that in retrospect I wasn't sure about. At the time they were happening, I didn't have the ability to discern.
Now Daphne, her vocabulary is also tremendous.
Yeah, she's, you know, she went to Ivy League schools, right? And in any case, let me see if I can figure out where we did this last week, okay? I hope I got the right recording.
We have 42 minutes left.
Right. It says it is loading. Play file failed.
You want me to try from my end, Rin?
Yeah, let me just try one more time. You can get ready for it, okay?
Yes. You might want to open up another browser.
It's kind of a third of the way down. And it's called the Battered Wind Show, Daphne, 12/10/2005. Okay.
You're talking. Is that so? It's in the uploaded files.
The uploaded files. Yeah. I want to see. Maybe it's having trouble because it's such a big file. Hang on a second.
Hello, okay. Yes. I'm Jim Leeds, solo piano.
See, the small file loads.
I see the Winfrey conference call live.
No, it says the Don and Wind Show.
Okay, this is not the one.
I am human and I need to be loved.
You said two-thirds down, right?
One-third down.
One-third, okay. The Donna Wind Show, yes, I see it. 1 hour and 25 minutes.
Right. I think that's the right one.
All right. Now I'm just going to give it a try, and then play what's left for the time we have left over here, which is 15, 30, 40 minutes. Yes.
Yeah. I'll try it. Okay. I just want to make sure where you started. You know what happened on this show is for quite some time, Daphne just thought, oh, this is not going to mean anything. Nobody's interested in this. And so when I started doing the Don and Wid show, she started giving it a little more credibility. Oh, you're on the radio. How wonderful. And so I said, well, why don't you come on as a guest? And then at some point in the middle, she said, oh, they want to say something. Is that okay? Is it starting, guys?
No, same thing on my end. Please wait, and then it drops out.
Mm-hmm.
So we are out of... Nope. Try it 3 times. How about the call with Carla? Or Daphne Carla?
It could be. Do you guys, let me just say something. Do you guys know who Cocapelli is?
I don't.
Yeah, sort of.
Anyway.
Sounds like a trickster?
Cocapelli. It's kind of a Native American god, okay? And you ever see that guy that's bent all over playing a flute, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of a symbol. That's Cocapelli, right? So they had asked Daphne and I to go... They asked Terry and I to go to the Hopi territory. And the Hopi territory, the Hopi tribe, is about 100 miles from Sedona. I'll tell you what, I have some short things here. And maybe I'll just play some short excerpts. It'll be kind of an interesting show. So, Terry and I went, and Daphne and I went, okay? And there's a little Hopi hotel, and the Hopis are considered the most spiritual of all the Indian tribes. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody? Did you know that? Yeah. And so Daphne and I were staying in the hotel, and actually, after a while, I realized why they were sending me there. You know, I started to get in the feeling for how all of this works. And the Hopis have something in their tradition that there's going to be a white man that shows up that apparently Jesus has showed up with the Native Americans a long time ago.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Of course, when you hear about that, you know, the first thought is, oh, Jesus could appear anywhere. He could just show up. He was the Messiah. But probably the more likely explanation is that he was being shuttled around by the Anunnaki in their spaceships. And he would end up in India. He would end up in North America. And the Indians have kind of something written about him. They didn't necessarily call him Jesus, but they called him the white man, who they had some exalted name for him. And then in their traditions, there was the idea that another white man was going to show up there and be a deliverer for the Indians, okay? The Hopis in particular, they have a name for it. Bohana, it might be. Bohana, might be. And so they kept sending me to the Hopis. And they didn't say this, but I got the idea they were trying to set me up to be the Bohana. And it didn't happen. You see, they have to, what happens is, you know, they that might have been Anunnaki. I mean, through Daphne, it might have been. Because when prophecies were set up, and if Jesus was there, and he was riding on the Anunnaki spaceships, then just as they made predictions for Jesus in the Old Testament, just as the New Testament predicts Jesus is going to come back, and it's a setup. In my opinion, it's a setup. Our sources have clarified it, and they don't, you know, they don't like to go against what people believe to say, no, Jesus isn't coming back. And but they did say that this is the time that the Christ consciousness is available to everyone. That's what they said. They said that through Carla, they said that through me, and probably other people. And if you're talking about an individual coming back who's going to be celebrated, then that's probably not our sources, because all those kinds of instances don't end up becoming what they appear to be. In other words, Jesus was taken over by the churches to use, you know, as an excuse for killing lots of people. So we went to the Hopi tribe. We were staying at the Hopi Hotel, and I'm walking around trying to figure out what am I supposed to do here, and nothing really happened. But when we were in the hotel, I said, "Well, let's do a channeling and see what the Elohim have to say." So we called in the light, and what came in was Kokapeli, who was the Indian god of sorts. Okay, so I'm going to play you the Kokapeli channeling. Here we go.
And who's Kokapeli?
The Anasazi flute dancer.
And is that a real being?
He is a spirit being.
He exists right now in spirit, yes?
Yes. He has a connection with the entity now speaking.
He has a connection right now with the entity, or he has a general connection?
She has had a connection since 1992.
Would it be advisable to let that entity speak?
It could be done.
Right now?
If you desire.
Well, we can open up to it.
Kokapeli speaks. The wind. The sail of the wind through the harmonies, through the fingers, through the tones of the music wafting through the arroyos and the rocks and the canyons. These are haunting and mysterious, and they call back. They call back eons of time. To make people remember the origins and the sacred space of the connectedness of the human and the divine, and the role, the intricate role that the earth plays, and the delicate balance, the very fragile balance all that are in. It is a haunting cry. Mysterious cry, one that is compelling, one that has been lost and is coming back. It is the flute chamber ricocheting through the canyons. In the dark, in the place of Bandelier, in the place of Moab, in the place of Canyonlands, in the place of the national parks. These are sacred sites. It is when she takes her flute and goes into the nature and plays. And hears it echoing off the canyon walls. She speaks to the stones, and the stones, they speak and reverberate back to her. It is her way of communing with the earth, and the earth knowing how to support her, being in the nature, being part of the mother, not separate from her. Very integrated cellularly with her, doing what she loved to do best, communion. Go to the kivas, go to the sweat lodge ceremonies, go to the sacred drumming circles, go to those things of the four directions. If you are invited to go to events in Sedona, it's safest to go to the shamanic Native American events. These are the most grounded. These are the ways in which you will least lose your footing. The others are more slippery slopes. She knows this, for the earth speaks its wisdom to her. Her path is the earth energy path. Others are not to be her foundation. The earth is to be her foundation. She can help others through her own foundation to the earth. This is why she has been screaming about foundation and grounding. She knows that her healing and her ability to help others will come through her own grounding to the earth. Once she has established the grounding to the earth, then she can be of true service. Others cannot be her foundation. Her foundation is the mother. Then she can help others. This is Copperbelly's message to you.
Thank you so much for coming forth. And please be invited to stay in our space anytime you choose and support the work we're doing.
You are more than welcome. It would be good to get your Native American flute repaired.
Did you have a physical incarnation?
Not as you would understand it.
Are you particularly related to the Hopi tribe?
Yes, there is a strong connection.
But other Native American tribes as well?
We are of Anasazi ancestry, the cliff dwellers of northern New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we thank you. And maybe we can return to our Hopi emissary of the Ra group.
You have returned.
Do you have a name?
Kopal.
Kopal?
Kopal.
Kopal. I think you answered our questions for the day. And is there anything else that's important to share with us?
There are many things which are important to share. Your question is broad in scope. Please narrow it.
In terms of the work we are doing in the white man's world, is what would be the effective way of tying in the Hopi energy?
You think of this incorrectly. It is not a tying in of the energy. It's an attunement. It is an understanding. It is an openness. It is a willingness to learn. White men are arrogant. White men are intellectual and want to understand everything with their minds. They have no regard for physical space, the sacredness of land. They have no regard for taking things and never returning them. They suffer from greed. We suffer from delusion. But their ways are crumbling now. Their empire has come to an end. You must undo the training which you have inculcated as a white man and become every man. You must become a red man, a black man, a yellow man. Do you see?
Mm-hmm. We wish you good evening. And thank you for being with us. And I think that's all.
Then we bid you good night. Oi, ciao, 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 yay, ciao, 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 ciao. Da yo yo to da 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 da
okay. I think that was interesting. Interesting for me to hear it again. You know, just to make that in context. It was in 2005, and I was still, I would say, I'm still a novice. I'm still a novice on all this stuff. Okay, but. I was really a novice, and something like that would come through, and I'm saying, are they really who they say they are? Am I really talking to Cocapelli? But I was supposed to expand beyond the white man's way. And of course, if you noticed, it was very interesting to listen to, but it didn't have the expansive energy of when the Elohim would come through Terry. So another thing I'm going to play now, another interesting old session, 36 weeks, 56, looks to me, it's 27 minutes. Do we have 27 minutes, 37? No, I'm going to overtime. All right. Let me pick one that's a little shorter. You know, there was the really crazy time that Michael Jackson came through, okay? And you might have heard me tell the story, but Darren and I were living in L.A., and we were living at a former Catholic nunnery near downtown L.A., and I was looking for a place where Terry would feel at home. And we really didn't want to rent an apartment. I didn't want to commit to an apartment or a neighborhood. And this was like, it had all of these, you know, interesting people. There were actors, actresses,
students. It was a common kitchen, and we were, people didn't know what we did, but we fit in, and it was, we did a, Jerry was working in downtown L.A., and at a legal office, and this was like not that far from downtown. It was not the greatest neighborhood, but it was a very secure building. And she would come home from work, and every night we would have a conversation with the Elohim. And then one night, the voice came in, and Terry was suddenly saying, I feel all this anger on the phone. I feel all this anger. And then she said, oh, my God, it's Michael Jackson. And I'm saying, Michael Jackson. And I keep thinking the negative is going to try to trick me. And he said, how do I know it's Michael Jackson? Well, eventually, I proved to myself it was Michael Jackson. And, you know, I asked him how he wrote a song. Since I'm a songwriter, I wanted to hear how he answered it. And then, at a certain point, Terry actually sung Beat It, okay? So, you'll notice, I don't know if you'll notice, but I noticed Terry sounds like Michael Jackson, okay? And let's see what we got here.
Are you recording?
I'm recording.
We are full of love experience, and many emotions are being expressed. And it is of a particular frequency of rage, which has a very nice resonance to it, based upon the fact that it is Michael Jackson's rage, and he has a particular resonance that is very musical, that extends through his vibrational body, and therefore his rage, it has many overtones, but of a resonance that is very beautiful when viewed from a creative or viewed from a non-rageful perspective, as we are not experiencing rage. And we have sadness, however, at the deep wounding of and brokenheartedness of the inability of this beautiful bird to fly and fulfill his projected destiny, which he had worked so hard to fulfill. There, this impetus will not be lost in the future, as he will again have opportunity to express his creativity. He needs to be nurtured and listened to and allowed to express himself. Now he is interiorized into conversation that the building where his body is. And he is listening to these conversations and being a part of them, not as contributing to them, but absorbing them as if he can get some prognosis for future survival of this body with them, as if there might be some hope he is hoping for. He still has not realized totally his full circumstance. Do you have questions? That was our point. He is not dead, therefore he doesn't know his.
Okay, that was not Michael Jackson. That was, I would imagine, the Elohim interfacing with Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was laying in the morgue, and that was about 3 miles from where we were living, 2 miles, 2 or 3 miles. And then the next day, I went for it again, and I didn't know what would happen. And here's what happened. Okay, we're taping.
Okay. I want to show you.
Now, this is actually Michael, okay? I think there was another session in between where we were talking to him, which is not up here, but here we go.
How are my legs off? For instance, a song about the experience we had today on the call.
Now, what he's saying there is we did one of our conference calls. I can't remember what we did, and I was not aware, but he was tuning into it through Terry.
First of all, it takes the vibrations that are available, that are coming near. And then I track the vibrations and I see where the vibrations are going. And then I move into those vibrations and sound it out with my voice. And it makes a this is the one title, Ladder to Heaven, and moving with lower vibrations, or the heavy vibrations of thriller, to take one from fear, scared, and to move into the green resonant heavenly sound. I start out with my voice, which is, I can't make this person's voice move like my voice can move. It is totally untrained to move in the ranges where I would go. And to hold air and the muscles are all out of that or making no sound. But there was a couple sounds which could be investigated. And then the ceiling is very high and going upward. And then low sound coming in. Anyway, that's my little coming up sketch for you. I really wanted to share that, and thank you very much. We appreciate your the words the opportunity and wish for the glory performing and dancing. That's all for this moment.
Thank you.
That's the end of it. Did you get it?
Huh?
Did you get it?
Right after that, I asked him if Terry could sing one of his songs, okay? And I'm still trying to convince myself it's Michael Jackson, okay? And I'll tell you the rest of the story, but let me... Here's a very short one. Okay, go ahead.
The words to beat it are... There's different tracks that are all put together for Beat It. It's like one of the tracks is Beat It, Beat It, Beat It, Beat It. And then there's another track that's put on top of it. So that's all I have to say right now.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Bye.
So, we had about 3 or 4 sessions with him coming through. And I told Daphne. Daphne and I were in communication at that point. In fact, for a period of time, she was coming into our calls, and Terry and Daphne were both going back and forth. Channeling, like on a Wednesday call. So Daphne happened to love Michael Jackson. And so I told her we were talking to Michael Jackson. And this was, I think Terry and I had maybe 4 sessions with him, and after I told her, she called me back and said, Michael's talking to me now. And he had a connection with her, and I'm going to share the connection. It's kind of mind-blowing. Okay. So when this started happening through Daphne, I told her, please don't tell anybody about talking to Michael, because I didn't want to become well known channeling Michael Jackson. And I thought, as you all know, the fact that we're bringing in the Elohim, I said, I'm going to look even more crazy than I am, having Michael Jackson coming through. And so she had 3 or 4 sessions with him. And the next thing is she sent one of her sessions to a woman that had a fairly active website. And within a week, they were being posted all over the world, including Japan. And, I mean, I just looked up a search on Daphne Michael Jackson, and I got one here. Well, I don't know what website this is, but here is the channeling that he did through her. I'm here, and I'm waiting. I'm like, what is this lag between my thoughts and people knowing that I'm not really gone at all? I can see all of you, and some of you are hearing me and cannot believe it, and some of you are willing to believe it. And for you folks especially, I am grateful. I did not want nor intend to die. It was a malfunction of my circulatory system combined with the adverse effects of pain meds I'm addicted to, because I have severe back injury from accidents and trauma and not maintaining my health due to intense pressure in the industry. Sony killed me. They squeezed the lifeblood out of me. And I am so at a loss, and I'm pissed off. My children need me. Did you see Paris talking at the stadium? She's never been in front of more than just a room full of people. She had no idea of the magnitude of my career. And she just blurted out from her heart her most vulnerable feelings. She helped to open people's eyes. Fools, they say, they are not mine. But look at them. They are my children. Paris's eyes are smoky green, like my father's. And my older son has my more prominent nose. People are still so racist, but my children love me, and Mom loves me, and them, and Diana and Liz love them, and Tito and Jermaine. I miss the baby. He is me. I am him. This place I am in is a heaven world, but they tell me that the show must go on. People will know that I am not gone because the London show will continue, and my energy will be so visible to everyone there and so palpable that they will finally know that death is not the end. It is a doorway. You are asking me about my nose this afternoon during your nap, and I tell you, it started out slow. You know, I just wanted to fit in and look nice for my fans, and my father was telling me I was so ugly. And then I saw what I could do. I could morph, change into what I wanted to be, rather than feeling stuck in a cage like a wooden character who is doomed to a life of terrible misery. But it got out of hand, the pressure of the concerts, the phenomenal success of Thriller. We never dreamed, even Quincy, that it would sell so well, go so big. And then I felt, you know, the fans expect perfection. I have to be better, and that means in every way. So I had to be physically the embodiment of what I was trying to proclaim, express in my lyrics and music. And I got sharper, more focused, more intense, edgier. Now, some would say I lost my balance, my equilibrium. And in part, that was true. You know, I did really love Lisa Marie, but kind of like I loved Janet, my sis. We could just talk until the wee morning hours. She really understood me. We love and care about each other. Same with Brooke. But that's not a painful relationship. That is a fun one. Lisa Marie carries a lot of the same wounds that I do around her dad. She said, I was more like him than anyone else in the world, and she wrote that song about missing daddy when she was only 5 when he died. At least Paris is a little older. She's 11. I'm so proud of her. She's an angel, my baby. So I am not gone. I'm just not in the physical. I will make myself very known to many people, including your work partner, dear friend, Wynn. I will help him with his music, but he must ask for it. That's why I had you meet Brian Holland. I am pointed into you and Terry and Brian and Wynn and others you will meet. There's going to be a project. I knew you in Egypt, Lemuria, and went also in Terry from Maldek. You and I have worked together before. You have worked with Al Jarreau and Stevie Wonder and Michael McDonald and Diana. Diana was the second mother to me, you know. When you were in Hawaii in 2004, before you moved back to Cape Cod and started to teach music, you were at the Humane Center with the kittens, and Ain't No Mountain High Enough came on the radio, and you were crying, and I could feel it. I could sense it, not at a conscious level, but my soul...